Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
No one should have to decide if they can afford life-saving care. Expanding Medicaid would bring billions in federal funding back to our state. It helps stabilize rural hospitals providing critical care. Text BETTER to 46839.
Fans from every SEC school and beyond. The latest morning headlines and sports talk hosts that call it like they see it. Welcome to the People's Sports Talk Show. Contact the guys at 331-2508 on the Elite Realty text line. Now, here's today's edition of Mississippi Sports Today.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that's the opposite of peaking at the right time. I think A&M was playing better basketball a few weeks ago.
And I know we're going to get to baseball later, but that's a total of 23 spots that basketball and baseball has dropped in 1 week.
Yeah.
23.
Yeah, that's crazy, yeah. Man.
Mm. Trouble.
Like Jimbo's back.
Exactly. Now, also included in the locks with a better than 95% chance, Kentucky. Mississippi State at 99%, Missouri also at 99%, and the Rebels at 96%. Should be in. There's a couple of teams involved there that have a lot to play for this week.
Yes.
Vandy, Commodores get a couple of also bubble squads, we'll call them, this week. So it's a very interesting week in that Vanderbilt has to play Arkansas and Georgia. And all of them need it.
Right.
Work to do. Georgia. How about Georgia, though? They're sneaky good, guys.
They are. They are. And they're a team that, again, another team in conference, in the Southeastern Conference, that you can play any given day and you can get beat.
Athletes all over the place for them. They have South Carolina and Vandy, as we mentioned, this week. So... lots on the line. Oklahoma is a 42% chance to get in. Missouri and Texas this week. The Razorbacks, 34%. All but out of it, guys. They lost big time to South Carolina. How about our Gamecocks?
Yeah.
Getting that big win. They scored 14 points, Arkansas, in the first half of that game.
That's almost pitiful, right?
There's a lid on it.
Yeah.
They're at Vandy, Arkansas, and then they have Mississippi State at home to close out the regular season this weekend. Texas Longhorns, another one that's all but out. They're at Mississippi State tonight, and then they have Oklahoma. In comparison to other leagues, the Big Ten is projected to get 9.5 teams in. Big 12, 7.8. Big East, 4.5. And look at the ACC. What's going on there this season?
Yeah, I think that they're top heavy a little bit, and not as much parity as there is in the SEC for sure.
Yeah, and the ACC, it looks to be a conference that is reeling. Period.
Yeah, they're talking about a few years from now not being an ACC. Period.
Yeah, so yeah, it'd be interesting to see if the baseball can pull that conference up, kind of out of the cellar.
That's true.
Hello to Swamp, the man of Swamp, on our Elite Realty text line, 331-2508. He says, Gator spank, number 12, Aggies. I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah, on that one. Thank you, Swamp, for saying hello. Also, a couple of beards. Is it B-E-A-R-D, Johnny? Yeah. Is that the word you are beard, like B-E-E-R-E-D?
No. B-E-A-R-D. This is a family program.
You're right. Yes, sir. It's too early.
Yeah.
A little too early.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for saying hello. And don't forget to send in the word beard for your chance to win those Ole Miss Tennessee tickets. First time I found this a little surprising. First time Mississippi State has been ranked in March in the top 25, and they're barely there, in 20 years.
Wow.
In the month of March.
Wow.
That is hard to believe.
It's hard to believe.
SEC's been pretty good, guys. Auburn, the unanimous number one in the AP. I think Duke got a vote in the coaches' poll after their road win, and very convincing road win. Auburn flexed in Rupp Arena.
They did.
And danced and strutted and laughed.
It's almost like they deserve a national championship right now.
Right now.
Yeah.
No doubt. Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to do what they have done, and they have done it in dominant fashion.
With different players. I mean, Jonai Broome had like 9 points Saturday.
Yeah, and he went through a 3 or 4 game where he didn't play because of injury.
They just step up. Tennessee moved up a notch, number 4 after the last second win over Alabama. Quite possibly one of the worst 2-3-second sequences of defense. Yeah. That's on Nate Oates.
Yeah.
Because, Johnny, explain what's wrong when you inbound the ball full court. You inbound from your end line with that much time. And the fundamental problem that Alabama didn't.
Yeah.
Get in his way.
I didn't understand.
Get on the – guard the ball. Why are you standing under the basket?
Yeah, it's almost like prevent defense,
yes,
you know.
Exactly.
And you got to
– nobody was close to him.
No, and I think most coaches' very first thought is we're going to make them use as much time as we can.
It didn't take him long.
No.
And he had – that wasn't even a Hail Mary.
No.
That's like a Steph Curry shot.
Yeah.
And this is one of those teams I could see being eliminated first round.
I agree.
In the playoffs.
You mean Alabama?
Yeah, Alabama.
Yeah, I agree.
Sneak up on them. And Tennessee, just, you know, I give them credit for hitting the shot, but there's no way he was unfettered. What? He was – no one
– no.
Took the ball.
Yeah.
I was just blown away.
Maybe the plan for Nate Oates was, hey, don't guard him. There's no way he'll make it.
That's right.
Freak out if he's just all alone.
If we don't disturb him and don't get in his way, he's bound to miss. It's probably some metrics thing they were looking at. Yeah. Give him a 40-footer. Florida dropped 2 spots to number 5. Alabama dropped 1 spot to number 7 in the poll. I believe we have 8 teams from the SEC. Missouri, number 15, they dropped a spot. And A&M, as we mentioned, plummeted 10 spots to number 22. We should congratulate, Johnny, because we haven't visited since the weekend.
That's right.
Congratulate our state championship teams. The North, the mighty North.
Absolutely. And out of 7 on the women's side, we had 4. Biggersville, Boonville, Ingomar.
Tupelo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pontotoc.
5. Pontotoc. 5. 5 out of 7.
Yeah.
Indeed. Also, we should congratulate Boonville.
Michael Smith.
That's historic.
Became the winning, has won more goal balls than any. He surpassed Norris Ashley, who was a legend.
Another Northerner.
At Ingomar.
Right.
Yeah, just over the county line.
What a great job. Boys 3A, Boonville 57. Wasn't even close. Cuyahoga County, 39. Kedrick Simmons, 21. 9 rebounds. Girls 2A, also.
Oh.
Not much doubt in this one. Ingomar over East Union, 58-38. You got the sense that East Union was happy to be there. I talked to one of their fans, and they were, we hadn't been here in a long time. We're just glad to be in the final.
They were. And of course, they played – two match games during the year, and then the county tournament. You know, they should have played this one up here somewhere. But that Ingomar squad, wow. The Macy Pfeiffer that's going to Middle Tennessee State and Richard Byrd's daughter, wow.
Players.
Player of the game.
Yeah, right. And, you know, this game was, you know, in question until the fourth quarter. And they outscored East Union 19-4.
Yeah.
That's clutch. That's what champions do.
Yep.
Right? All right, we mentioned the Boonville boys, Boonville girls, winners in 3A over Jeff Davis County, 59-33. They outscored them 30-14 in the paint. No doubt in this one. In 2A, we should mention Biggersville girls knocked off Thrasher.
1A.
I'm sorry, 1A.
Yeah.
My bad. 54-47. And then you mentioned Pontotoc. That was a nail-biter. 41-39 over Canton. 5A champions, Pontotoc girls.
Yeah, and that was a valiant effort in that 1A finals by Thrasher. We talked last week, I think I mentioned that in 8 years they'd won 11 games, and then they end up playing in the state championship the next year. So that was a real accomplishment.
Isn't that something? All right, it's not Fun Fact Friday, Brian, is it? We had a good time with that.
We did.
Yep. But we do have a fun fact from the text line. Just to show you how impressive this run for Boonville has been. Boonville boys and girls are a combined 225 and 25 over the last 4 years. 7 state titles, 1 runner-up.
Yep. That's more than impressive.
Boonville's running it.
Yeah.
They running the show.
Yeah, that's dominant.
I've seen their junior high a couple times this year, and they're not through.
That's a good point, Johnny, because we talk about it all the time, guys, that you're building a generational kind of culture thing there, especially, from year to year. And then you look at your junior high program, and that's what coaches want. That's the ideal thing, right?
Yeah, because, the younger girls watch the older girls, and they want to be the older girls. And
yep.
The summer camps they go through, and as we talked about in football, like your West Points and
South Panola, dynasty at South Panola. They said they had kids in seventh grade that they knew were going to be the cornerback.
In
2 years from now,
And it seems that the smaller a community is, the more close knit, and you have a lot of kinfolks and older brothers and sisters and cousins and all that playing. So there's something to that.
Duke at Boonville has stocked their boys' team. He's got one more, I think. This is an eighth grader this year, and there's a senior and a tenth grader or something like that this year on the team.
And I'm sure, I don't know this to be a fact, but I'm sure that gym is probably well used on the weekends.
Yeah.
And
they ball.
Summertime.
That's what makes a difference.
Yep. Yeah. Every time they get in there, right? And let's take a quick recap of the SEC women. A huge win for Ole Miss. They rallied from 15 down. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. They knocked off 7th-ranked LSU Tigers in Baton Rouge, 85-77. They outscored them 54-33. I mean, whooped them in the second half and scored 27 points off 23 turnovers. Ole Miss is a 7 seed in the SEC Women's Tournament that is being played starting tomorrow in Greenville, South Carolina, my old stomping grounds. They didn't have cool stuff like that when I lived there.
Oh, yeah.
And they had a little minor league baseball, which is okay.
Yeah.
But then tomorrow to open the tournament, Mississippi State, by the way, got their road win over Auburn to wrap up the regular season on the road. Bulldogs are a 10 seed. They'll play Missouri tomorrow, 5 o'clock in the opening round. The winner gets Ole Miss. So, guys, it's tournament season beginning this week.
That's right.
And I love it. What does that mean? Spring is coming soon.
That's right.
Yeah.
You kind of feel like the men just maybe a week too long. It's kind of dragging on now, regular season. You're ready for postseason play.
So the women play 15 regular season games.
Right.
And the men play 20.
That's right.
Right? Okay. Just trying to establish that. The extra week. Ole Miss sports as a whole ran the table over this past weekend. Men's and women's basketball, dubs. Men's and women's tennis, winners. Softball, they swept.
Yep.
Then they did something that they've never done before in track. Tied for third at the SEC indoors. It's the best finish for the program in their history in that event. So it was a good weekend to be a Rebel.
And 3 baseball games.
But I didn't mention that. 3 baseball games as well.
It's a pretty good list.
Yeah, that's a good list. All right, when we return, well, let's do this. We still have a little time for the bottom of the hour. Brian, talk about your high school weekend at Tupelo. There's a really good, some of the top teams in the state going at it.
Yeah, on Saturday, Tupelo took on Jackson Prep to start that three-game I guess, round robin, so to speak, at Golden Wave Field, and Tupelo knocked off Jackson Prep 8-2 in game one. And then Hernando was a winner over Jackson Prep in game two. And in the nightcap, Hernando knocked off Tupelo 12-11 in a game that Tupelo looked like they were out of. Tupelo gave up 11 unearned runs in the first three innings and were down by eight. And were able to claw back and had the tying run on third, and Brody Wilson hit a shot right at the second baseman. So it was a great day of baseball. The kind of the highlight of the day was, I mentioned this kid, Brody Wilson. He pitched against Jackson Prep. He pitched five innings, only gave up four hits. But what was key for me, this kid pitched five innings, threw 51 pitches, and 40 of them were strikes.
Wow. Efficient.
Efficient. No walks.
That's what I was going to say. That means he didn't walk anybody. Yeah,
make them count.
Yeah.
And that's all. I mean, he's in the zone, and they couldn't do anything with it.
Yeah, he was dominant. And then last night, division play started for Tupelo. They knocked off Germantown 6-4. Tupelo again fell behind, giving up some unearned run. Have not played a lot of clean baseball, but last night was Tupelo's fifth game in a row with nine hits.
How many?
Nine.
Key number.
So Tupelo's offense is what's keeping them in these ball games, and top to bottom, this lineup is hard to find some outs. And what Tupelo has done this year, I think last time Dylan and I looked back, over 60% of their runs produced this year have been with two outs.
Yes.
So they're a gritty, gritty ball club. They fight with two strikes. When they get into hitter's count, they'll make a pitcher pay. And so Tupelo will travel to Germantown on Friday for the second game in division play. And then we've got 2 weeks off before
spring break,
next division.
Yeah,
it's, well, it's five teams in your division. One team is left out each week.
Right.
So you got spring break, and then Tupelo's left out the following week.
Kind of a bye week.
You know, we're talking about last night. A lot of these teams, and you've only got eight division games. So every one is so important.
Yeah. It sounds still to me weird, Germantown, division game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
From one end of the state to the other, almost.
Hey, UCLA in the Big Ten.
That's why some Germantown fans, a former teammate of mine, Craig Ramage, and I were talking last night. His son plays at Germantown. He's like, man, it's crazy for us to have to come to Tupelo on a Tuesday night. Yeah. I said, hey, brother, we got to go to Germantown, Madison Central, and Clinton.
Oh.
Thankfully, Madison Central and Clinton is in your backyard.
Yeah,
I didn't think about that.
Some of these are on weeknights, too, right?
Oh, yeah. They play the series of Tuesdays and Fridays. Our closest division game will be in Starkville. So.
Wow. Crazy. All right. Let's go over softball real quick. I should mention, number 18, Mississippi State, and softball. No, I'm sorry, number 21. They are 18-3, as well as Ole Miss. As Johnny mentioned, Ole Miss had another run rule victory and a very successful weekend. They'll return to action Friday to open their SEC play against number 11 Arkansas. I wonder how many softball teams SEC are ranked top 25. I'm gonna say a handful.
Have a look, but when you throw Oklahoma and Texas in that mix, you raise the number.
Mississippi State was shut out on Sunday 5-0 to Northwestern State at the Bulldog Invitational. They'll remain home this week and host Louisiana tomorrow, and then it's on to conference play. It's number 20, another ranked, will be at News Park on March 8th through 10th, so that's coming up. We're going to get on the other side of our time. Oh, one more note on softball. ICC softball fell 9-1 Calhoun Community College. They'll play again on Thursday, but they're having an excellent year. And the Indians dropped two over the weekend in baseball to Snead State. They'll host Holmes and East Central on Wednesday, first game at noon, game two at 6 p.m. And Adam, correct me if that's not accurate, but I believe that's the case. When we return, Ole Miss Mississippi State baseball. We'll get Brian and Johnny's thoughts on that. We'd love to hear from you. 331-2508 on the Elite Realty text line. Text the word beard to that number, and we'll put you in the drawing for the Ole Miss Tennessee tickets tomorrow. Back after this.
Hi, this is Brian Rigby, owner of ServPro of Tupelo. ServPro is the nation's leader in cleaning and restoration. But here at home, we're more than that. We're neighbors helping neighbors, friends taking care of friends. Whether it's storm, flood, or fire damage, our pros will make it like it never even happened. Our staff has over 150 years combined experience in residential and commercial projects. Visit ServPro.com or call 690-6502. ServPro of Tupelo, here in your community, here to help.
It's Bobby Bascom from Automedic. Bobby, when you say we speak the language, what does that mean?
Just that, Craig. We speak foreign imports language, specializing in BMW, Mercedes, Audi, Lexus.
You mean you speak BMW?
Wir sprechen Deutsch.
Gesundheit!
Translation? We speak German imports, and we're local, so there's no need to drive hours to your dealer. Automedic 3552, Jeff Homan Boulevard in Tupelo. Reach us at 844-9379. We speak the language at Automedic.
It's Mark Ewan with Farm Bureau Insurance Lee County. Mark, baseball is here.
One of my favorite times of the year. And our team at Farm Bureau want to wish our Lee County Diamond and Lady Diamond teams the very best this season. We're in the baseball capital of the nation. Go Rebels, go Bulldogs, and go Golden Eagles. We know that great teams have consistency, attention to details, and a passion for the game. We have five tools at every position.
The home team.
Give us a call at 662-842-7034, and let's have the best season ever from our team at Farm Bureau Insurance Lee County. Go with the home team.
What are you people?
Who are you?
Featuring a different lineup of hosts every day and your comments on the Elite Realty text line. This is the People's Sports Talk Show. Now, back to more of Mississippi Sports Today on Super Talk 101.9.
Glad to have you aboard for our Tuesday edition with the boys in Johnny Davis, Brian Rigby, Stacy Joe is on assignment today, headed to the Bahamas. Right?
Wow.
I know.
Tough life.
I know. Boy, bless her heart.
Yeah.
Say hello at 331-2508 on the Elite Realty text line. You guys were talking over the break about Ole Miss's baseball weekend. Pretty impressive. Sweeping Wright State. 7-3 win on Sunday. And they beat them 9-1 and 8-3 in the other two games. Rebels now 10-1 on the season, but somebody stood out to you, my friend.
Wow. I got opportunity to see all three of them this weekend. Froze to death a couple times, but was there on Sunday.
What is wrong with you?
There on Sunday watching Mason Morris, Tupelo graduate. And Mason is actually from my hometown at Baldwin originally. But, man, he was slinging it. I'm telling you, he hit, like Brian and I talked about, he hit 97, 98, 97 in three consecutive pitches at one time in a three-inning outing that he struck out four. And nobody hit the ball hard and had a couple of ground balls put in play. And he's doing it with so little effort, it looks like. I mean, you see some guys where it's like Freddie Couples' golf swing. He just drops a club, you know, and it looks like Mason's just turning it loose and it's coming up there. And Brian knows more about this than I do because he's played at a lot higher level. But if you see 97, 97, 82, you probably ain't going to hit that 82.
Yeah, and these kids these days have these sliders and stuff that are in the high 80s, and I feel for hitters because it's really, really hard to do. But you're talking about Ole Miss, you know, and having another sweep this weekend, and this is a team, Johnny, I don't think that anybody expected to be ranked 17th in the country by D1 Baseball, you know, after 3 weeks.
No. No, and so many transfers, and we're just learning some of these guys' names. I mean, it was almost a complete redo. But the Mormon kid, Sanford, Federico. Oh, man, I got on Twitter. I was following that while I was watching the ball game, and Federico's in the on-deck circle and fixing the lead off. And the guy tweets on there, Federico leads off with a single. That's what he did.
Sure enough.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so I think if you're Coach B and Ole Miss Rebels, there's three holes they have. They're, you know, really weak at catcher, force hitting. You can add their averages up. You can't get to 275 for the two starters.
Yeah.
Same thing at shortstop.
Yeah.
And then first base has been kind of a, you know, so they're trying to find some bats in those positions. Otherwise, the other six positions on the field,
which
pretty solid.
First and short have been sort of over the years really strong for them. So
yeah,
it's different to see them struggling in those areas. Mississippi State had the Houston trip this weekend. They won 1 of 3. Actually, on Sunday, they scored 5 in the top of the 7th, but couldn't get it across and ultimately lost to Oklahoma State 9-7. They did win that opener over Rice on Friday, losing on Saturday to Arizona 6-5, and State is 7-4 on the season. And as we mentioned, tomorrow they will host a very good Southern Miss team.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I saw the Southern Miss Ole Miss game, and there's, when you think about it, it's really sort of almost amazing that a state the size of Mississippi has got 3 Division I baseball programs like we have. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is a good measuring stick for Mississippi State this weekend, and I know that on the week Mississippi State went 1-3, not ideal, but you know it doesn't really that doesn't hurt you. They're all quality opponents, and you want to face some adversity and have your kids in some tough spots, and of course Mississippi State will face Southern again tomorrow night, and you know just looking at some of the matchups on the weekend, you know it's pretty boring. Ole Miss will host Jackson State. Mississippi State will be hosting Queens, and you can go up and down the list. It's just tune-up time if you're an SEC team. But next week starts SEC.
It's real then, buddy.
And just looking at some of these matchups, if y'all allow me just to jump ahead.
Go.
Alabama, Texas A&M.
Wow.
Arkansas and Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt and Auburn. Florida and Tennessee. Kentucky and Georgia, Texas and Mississippi State. I mean,
wow!
Sounds like Omaha.
I mean, yeah. That just gives me goosebumps thinking about these matchups, because this is such high quality baseball, and it's. I mean, if you're having to play these games, you're probably nauseous right now. Yeah. But because you think about the duration of this SEC run that you've got to make. And the gauntlet it is, every game matters.
Absolutely. And there were a couple of polls where there were 7 out of the top 10 in baseball polls from SEC. I mean, I thought it was football and basketball I was looking at, you know.
Look anywhere.
Yeah.
What a source of pride for us Southeastern Conference fans. Right? Nobody can touch us.
Yeah, and I
ain't got a lot to do with it, but I still.
Yeah.
Well, and if you look at, you know, just in talking about the SEC, and this is D1 baseball top 25, which I go to this poll more than do any of them. LSU moving to the number one spot. Tennessee's 2. Arkansas's 3. Georgia's 5. Florida's 7th. Texas is 12th. Oklahoma's 13th. A&M moved down 13 spots. They went 1-3 on the week. They're 14. Ole Miss 17. Vanderbilt 18. Auburn is 22. Alabama's 23. And Mississippi State just dropped out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Having been ranked 18, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, crazy. All right. NFL Combine over the weekend. Quarterbacks worked out on Saturday. Who had the highest quarterback grade of any of the players at the combine?
Jackson Dart.
Mr. Jackson Dart. Impressive with throws, dimes, dropping them. He also had a great pro day at Ole Miss.
He did.
So this is looking, and a lot of the analysts are saying, this kid's going to go first round.
Well, I don't think that the arm talent has ever been in question for Jackson Dart. He has got both the arm strength and the touch and accuracy that you want a quarterback to have at any level. And so this is not surprising for me. And I think that the only downfall or only negative to Jackson Dart is what the pro scouts look at as far as progressions. and the reads. And I think that there's some teams that's saying, hey, if he's got this kind of talent, we can figure the rest out.
Yeah. You know, I've heard a lot of conversation about spring games, spring football, because we're getting around that time of year. And there are a number of teams in college football across the board that have said, nah, we're not doing it.
Yeah.
For more than, you know, just the fact that, you know, we don't want to get hurt, but also the fact that we don't want anybody poaching our players when the late window opens.
Right.
And you come down and scout our spring game, and all of a sudden I'm losing my – right?
Yeah.
And just there are a number of factors involved there. What are your guys' thoughts on – and see, Ole Miss has done something without canceling the spring game. They kind of canceled the spring game.
Yeah, they did that last year.
2 years in a row.
Yeah. Yeah, and I talked to a high school coach, a successful high school coach a few years ago, and he said, I hate spring games. He said, if everybody else would not play, we wouldn't play. I mean, that's sort of the reason everybody's always done it, because everybody else is doing it. And now we've got even more reasons, as you said. For one thing, you know, outside of the fact that you could get your players poached, as you said, I'm not even sure these guys are going to be on my roster in the fall. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's really always been more for the fans than it was for the, you know, guys, folks can come and see it. But
what happened to that? I mean, because, I recall there was a day that – even Ole Miss fans and Mississippi State fans, we got excited about a spring game. It was even, I mean, and it's just gone away. It's lost its the intriguing part of it. It's just not there. The excitement is not around it. Even Alabama, who used to fill up their stadium.
Oh, they'd bring 90.
But now it's even fallen off. Yeah. So
Texas is not holding a spring game. Yeah. How bad do you want to see Arch Manning?
Yeah.
Nope, you got to wait. Dabo Swinney had some sharp comments the other day about this subject, saying that it's unfair the way the window is. And also, he made a great point. NFL teams get 4 preseason games.
Yeah.
He's got kids on his campus he's never really seen other than the spring practice. Do you know that Liberty had their spring game last Saturday?
No, I didn't know.
And they won. Go Flames. So, and they just played.
Yeah.
Like January 4th.
Yeah.
So a lot of coaches have different, but Dabo's saying, you know, we need, I've got, you know what our preseason game is? LSU to open the season.
So I don't understand why these coaches don't create some kind of alliance, because they all agree about the portal and the windows.
Yeah.
But most every coach will agree with that. And it's so tiresome to be protecting your roster all the time and having to recruit, and why they don't create some kind of alliance to say, hey, okay, Mr. NCAA, we're not going to play. How about we just cancel football, or we won't play football, period, until you change these things.
Yeah.
And let's have some common
sense.
The
tampering is the most disturbing, I think, to the coaches.
Well, I mean, I'm not a college football player. Okay, but we have tossed in everything, and we've thrown everything into it's all about the student athlete.
Yeah.
We call them student athletes, but it's all about the players. And there has to be a point in time where you take a step back and you do what's best for the game.
Yeah.
Overall, let's do what's best for the game. We have gone nuts trying to accommodate the football players.
That's true.
And it's time that we take a step back and let's do what's best for the game.
Yeah.
You mean to tell me that this younger generation is being catered to and spoiled?
No.
I mean, it's
say
insane.
Say it ain't so. Great point, Brian. Mr. West brings up a point regarding Rice. Not very good, he says. They're 2-8. State's only win over the weekend. How did Rice even get invited to that tournament, he said?
Yeah, well, it was almost a home game for them, you know. And
probably Rice got scheduled 2 years ago.
Yeah, Rice is a storied program. You know, Brian, remember just a few years ago when they had them in the College World Series time after time.
And I still think that Rice will will be a much better baseball team as the season goes on. Yeah. Their opponents have been tough. And, you know, I've always said, hey, if you find me a baseball team in the state of Texas or Louisiana, yeah, they can beat you.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah.
You know, let's take college baseball conversation in this direction, because you guys, if we've discussed it on the program, have noticed that ESPN, their emphasis on college baseball is weak.
Yeah.
They don't mention college baseball till when?
Till Omaha. Yeah.
And then they're all about it.
Yeah.
They send Carl Ravitch and the rest of the team, and they do this big in depth. College football, college basketball, front and center. Every show. Now what's happening, and we may get a change in this. I'm hoping we do. MLB and ESPN are breaking up.
Yeah.
You heard, right?
Really? Yeah.
ESPN, I guess they did a doge and said, we're asking MLB to take a cut on our package, on our television rights, from $550 million a season to $200 million. ESPN's contract with the NBA, $2.6
billion. Yeah.
ESPN is also failing miserably in their online gambling venture, ESPN Bet. They can't compete with the rest of them.
No.
They put $2 billion in. Who is running? Is Pelosi running ESPN now? Did she move?
Yeah.
I didn't hear.
Yeah, they're getting what they deserve.
Schumer, they running the...
Yeah.
So my hope is, Brian and Johnny, they'll bring in college baseball Sundays.
It seems like a no-brainer to me.
I think this has got to do with the sport, period.
I agree.
I mean, because it's they look at baseball as more of an elitist sport, and that's been talked about. And, you know, when you look on ESPN and you've got this street basketball being played, or these crazy all these other crazy sports that they're airing on ESPN and their networks, and no college baseball.
I wonder what the budget for this channel is, I guess now exclusively the Ocho, that is showing waitress waiter competitions, cornhole, which cornhole ain't bad.
Yeah,
all these nonsensical, you know, hobbies that they do on there, and put some college baseball in front of us. But as you and geographically, Southeast is pretty, you know, in tune with college baseball. Rest of the country, I guess that's part of their argument.
Yeah, and the year that UCLA won a national championship, their average attendance at home that year was less than 1,000 fans. So, you know, baseball in places like Los Angeles, where they compete with professional sports and all, is a whole different animal than it is here in Mississippi, where I just got through saying a while ago we got three of the best.
Well, I tell you what we should do, guys. We should pile up. We should ride over to Backswings. It's going to be a stormy afternoon. Backswings is indoors, right? Very comfortable, and we should play Bay Hill. That is where they're playing this weekend, starting on Thursday. There's some money up for grabs over the next 2 weeks. Fellas, $20 million this week at the Arnold Palmer. Next week, $25 million at the Players.
Wow.
We could play Sawgrass.
Yep.
Play about 1,000 courses all over the world.
Yep.
We recommend the Lynx course. Just
a little less water.
A little more open.
Yeah.
Not as many trees. I got behind a wall. I guess I was off the property on this when I was playing it, right? The Sim Golf. And I was like, okay, what to do now? Or if I were playing in real life, I'd just pick the ball up, drop it over the wall, and look around like Judge Smales. Nobody saw that.
Yeah.
But at Backswings, it's a great experience, great food. I want to say hey to Alan. And we're going to be doing some events out there, some two-man, some par three competitions, all that. At Backswings over there on Commonwealth Boulevard, we suggest you go and enjoy some golf.
Is it just me, or is this PGA purses? Are they gradually getting up?
Yeah,
they're like a live.
They're growing. So
what did we say? And what did you know? They don't want to. They don't. want to admit that that's why, but that's why.
And I'm sure Randall Chamblee has some explanation of why that is. Yeah. But, you know, nobody's talking about it. But that's why. Because competition makes you better.
That's it.
It makes you put emphasis on the consumer.
Yes. I think we're seeing that in more than just sports.
Oh, I agree.
Right, guys? By the way, you're both being tariffed 20% today for coming in. Just want to say, tired of freeloading.
Started it. Tired of this freeloading.
36 days until the Masters, gentlemen. Get this. The USGA announced yesterday the Walker Cup 2044 will be played at Pine Valley.
When I read that, I loved what you had to say about
the field has not been born.
Yeah.
Some of these youngsters, Drew and Will and Mike and I played a little bit yesterday. We were talking about how good these young kids are. The kid from Florida State, the amateur Luke Clanton.
Yes.
And Drew made a point that these kids are playing a different game in terms of swing speed and ball speed.
Yeah, Mason Morris's little brother, Jack.
Can rip.
I watched him in the sim just the other day, and Jack works carts at the club, you know, 125 with very – and his golf swing's like his brother's pitching. Doesn't look like he's putting any effort into it.
Well, those kids got some – got some chromosomes.
Yeah.
That's impressive. Jack's very good. Yeah, we had actually talked about him yesterday. There was a Tiger sighting over the weekend on Saturday, the Florida girls 2A state title soccer match featuring Tiger's daughter, Sam. She's apparently a defensive specialist. They won the 2A title in Florida.
That's what I was in basketball.
A defensive specialist.
Yeah.
You got to have an enforcer.
Yeah.
Benjamin is the name of the school. I imagine it's pretty elite.
I bet.
I would think. And Sam, and it was just so cool. He looked like a dad at a soccer match.
So he was not like LeBron, standing up at the end of the court.
Yeah.
Pacing around,
trying to draw attention to himself. He wasn't doing that.
He had one of the school shirts on, state championship. Yeah. Looked just like his cap, looked like every other
day.
He's
trying to blend in.
Yeah.
He was. Oh, so.
I would have too.
I didn't know. I thought
unusual.
All
right, gentlemen, it's time for us to kick it in reverse. Hop in the time machine to this date, March 4th. The year was?
1927. Babe Ruth becomes the highest paid player in Major League Baseball history when he signs a 3-year, $70,000 contract.
Remember the famous quote? Yep. They ask him, you realize you're making more than the president? And he said, I had a better year.
Yeah.
Good one.
1970, Jacksonville is the first college basketball team to average 100-plus points per game.
The whole season.
Artis Gilmore.
Is that him?
That's him.
No wonder.
Who was the second and the third?
I don't know.
Gracious. How you do that?
1976, San Francisco Giants were bought for $8 million. They were sold in 93 for $100 million, and today they're worth $3.8 billion, which is the fifth highest. The Yankees are number one at $7.55 billion. Wow.
That's well played, was it not?
Oh, yeah.
The guy who bought it for $8 sold it for $100. The guy who bought it for $100 sold it for, billions. Billions of dollars. Amazing.
Crazy. Right?
Little happy birthday shout out. Canute Rockne.
Canute Rockne.
I didn't realize. Actually, I did a book report on Newt Rockne when I was like third grade. And it must have slipped me that he was born in Voss, Norway.
Wow.
A Norwegian.
Yeah.
And it was sort of the father of, American football in its early stages there. Who else born today, Johnny?
Ray Boom Boom Mancini in 1961. I remember Boom Boom.
Great nickname.
Yeah.
Boxers have the best nicknames.
No, I agree.
Right?
I agree.
I mean, Andrew Lights Out Tony.
Yeah.
We're going to do a whole session tomorrow on boxer nicknames.
Yep.
Frank Dodds, the Caucasian Invasion. Mr. West celebrated a birthday yesterday. Happy birthday to you, sir.
Yeah, happy birthday.
We appreciate you supporting our program. Swamp has said, Craig said he holds the cards, fellas. Now, I'm not playing cards.
Thoughts on President Trump pardoning Pete Rose, which he says he plans to do in the next couple of weeks?
I'm all for it.
And pushing for a Hall of Fame.
Let's get him in a Hall of Fame.
Is there nothing in American life that President Trump hasn't addressed in, what, first month? I mean,
60 days.
And a lot of it is sports related. I heard that the FBI is going to enlist MMA fighters to help train their agents, those that need that physical training. Yeah. And then all of the executive order regarding women's sports and protecting girls in sports. We shouldn't have to do that.
No, and
he did.
I know this is sports and not politics, but the vote last night in the Senate was egregious that every Democrat voted to keep on doing that.
I'm sure Gerard will have more on that in just a few minutes.
Christopher Bell goes back-to-back in NASCAR.
Yeah.
All right.
He's got two wins in three races.
Wow.
And he's fourth in points.
It's not often you see a dude go back-to-back. No. And that was a road course.
It was a road course. He won at Atlanta and then in Austin this past weekend. Yeah, he has won two of the three races. He did not finish at Daytona, which that's half the field. But I thought it was kind of funny that he's won two of the three races and fourth in points.
Are the Fords kind of leading the pack?
It's kind of scattered. This weekend, the Toyotas and Chevys did pretty good. Stenhouse got another good finish this weekend. But I think of the three races, Christopher Bell has only led nine laps.
Goodness.
Got two wins. Yep. So he's leading at the right time.
He's coming in late. But coming in hot. The reason I mentioned Fords is that on Thursday, we'll be live out at Metro Ford for a grand reopening. They're under new ownership. So join us out there on Thursday the 6th from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. We'll have food out there, Johnny.
All right. I'm in.
You know Will's going to be there.
Yeah.
Right? And the food is provided by local mobile food truck. The first 25 you show up, your lunch is on the house. There'll be giveaways and even live music. I'm telling you, they're going all out. 1000 Barnes Crossing Road in Tupelo. Coming up Thursday, we'll see you over there at Metro Ford. That'll be fun.
It will be.
Tomorrow on the program, Wednesday hosts the Caucasian Invasion we just mentioned, along with Bobby Bascom, and hopefully get Tom Massengill back tomorrow. So it's going to be a busy week.
Be weather aware today, guys.
Absolutely. Hopefully it'll be short and sweet, storms, and get some rain. Brian, Johnny, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Mid-Delta Auction is holding two March auctions, a spring equipment auction Thursday, March the 20th in Greenwood, plus a retirement auction at Ewing Farm in Anguilla on Thursday, March the 13th. Visit mdauction.com for details on both. That's mdauction.com. We'll see you there.